It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Did you watch the Oscars last weekend? Or maybe see clips on YouTube? Pretty good show, I thought. Ryan Gosling's performance of I'm Just Ken was epic. And personally, I would listen to Billie Eilish sing The Phone Book on repeat. But what I really want to know is if you caught the winner for Best Animated Short Film. This year, it was War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. It's an 11-minute, mostly wordless film that follows a pair of soldiers using a homing pigeon to play chess across a battlefield. The film's producer is Brad Booker, who's a native of Springfield, Illinois. He got his start as an animator, working on such films as The Iron Giant, Stuart Little, Spider-Man, and The Two Towers from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Now he's a producer, whose credits include The Book of Life from 2014. He's also founder and CEO of Electro League, an animation studio in Los Angeles. Brad, congratulations. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Appreciate it.
So I want to go back to the moment you were all waiting for. This is Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, presenting in your category.
War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, Dave Mullins, and Brad Booker.
And the Oscar goes to War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
All right, Brad, a lot of people have fantasized about that moment. And there you have the Queen's Gambit, Thor himself, calling out the name of your film. What is going through your mind at that moment?
Not a whole lot, actually. Like, you're kind of numb, you know. There's a lot of disbelief. And then you stand up and try to make your legs walk down the aisle towards the stage. And it's kind of crazy. But yeah, it's beyond a wildly surreal experience. It's kind of hard to put into words.
What was
I feel very fortunate to have experienced it.
Yeah. I mean, you say it's beyond belief. Obviously, you're not so superstitious that you didn't have, I saw like a little index card with some notes of who to thank. So you must have thought it was possible, right?
Yeah, you have to. You have to be prepared. And honestly, it seems like we were the favorite going in. I mean, if you read a lot of the trades out here, and believe it or not, there were even Vegas odds that had us a pretty big winner. So, but look, upsets happen every year, especially this day and age, with a lot of the films had semi-charged topics in terms of, you know, very emotional stories, but you know, there was a Letter to a Pig was a film about the Holocaust, and there was one called Our Uniform that was done by just this amazing human being from Iran. So we got to hang out with all the nominees and really get to know them. And you know, my point being is you just never know, like, mm-hmm. what's going to spark an Academy voter and what's not. I mean, I think for us, I do believe in our story, and I believe in the power of John and Yoko's message. I think, you know, the kind of target voter in the audience definitely seems to be kind of the older boomer voter. So I feel like that bode well for us in terms of you know, the relation to the John and Yoko music and their catalog. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's all like, you just never know. And we were very hopeful, but just glad our name was called.
Well, let's talk about the inspiration for the film. It's obviously a relevant message, sadly, at this time of war around the world right now. Where did the idea come from? The song's been out there for more than 50 years now.
Yeah. And it's crazy because the song actually was I think debuted on December 1st, 1971. I was born on November 27th, so I was 4 days old when the song came out. Isn't that crazy?
That is amazing.
It almost feels a little kismet in a lot of ways. I keep saying that it felt like somebody was watching over us. I'm not going to say who, but it really felt that way on this project. But the way it came to be was Dave, my partner, who is also the writer director of the film, who I won the Oscar with, was at Pixar for 20 years, and they had Sean Lennon, had a mutual friend to Dave Mullins that worked at Pixar as well. Sean has a music label, and he had put the guy's name's Adam Gates. He had put his album out on you know, his Sean's label. So that's kind of how we were introduced to Sean. And come to find out, he had been on a lot of stops with big studios, big anime people in the animation industry. And for him, I think a lot of people were pitching back to him kind of a, you know, kind of a more aged down Christmassy, you know, kind of what you would expect out of a Christmas project. And, you know, I think Dave and I knew going into it that Sean didn't really want that. He wanted to pay homage to his mom and dad's campaign, peace campaign that, you know, kind of happened from 1969 and 1971. And then, of course, was followed by them writing the song and releasing it in 71. But I think, you know, a lot of people might remember the black and white, the black letters on the white background for War Is Over If You Want It. And that's kind of where the whole idea came from. So when we started talking to Sean, it was what, June of 2021. And, you know, the war, none of the wars had broken out yet. So it's kind of crazy because the war in Ukraine did not come for another 8 months or so. When we started talking to him about the project, and we had kind of done two creative sessions over Zoom with him. You know, Dave's up in the Bay Area, I'm down in LA, and Sean was out in upstate New York. And a lot of that was happening kind of towards the tail end of the pandemic. So we had a couple great meetings, and Dave went home that night and wrote a 10-page script, and it's remain largely kind of untouched. It's pretty much the story we came up with.
Yeah. And we don't have to, you know, spoil it. I don't know how you feel about that, but I mean, it's, as I mentioned, these two soldiers, they're playing chess using a homing pigeon. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's explicitly in World War One or just sort of World War One-esque. There's trenches, there's a no man's land. I want to talk about some of the animation stuff, 'cause you've worked in both traditional animation and computer animation. You know, I love the hand-drawn touches. You know, you can see like the pencil outline of the pigeon, for example. You see a moment like the bloody footprints in the snow, for example, right?
Right.
And it's like computer animation can do so much. How did you, you know, settle on the style that you and your co-creator were going to use for this?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we very much do come from more of a feature animation background as opposed to more of a realistic visual effects background. We both worked on visual effects films, but I would say Dave and I, you know, spent the majority of our career, you know, working in fully CG animated films. You know, Dave at Pixar and me at Real Effects, and you know, I developed films that we set up with major studios. You know, like Book of Life being a good example of that, 20th Century Fox. So for us, we really wanted to, the whole founding of Electro League, the whole idea in that was to basically develop a real-time workflow, which means we use the Unreal game engine.
This is for video games, right? I thought that was unusual.
Yeah, it's mostly used for video games, but people are definitely using it for feature films now. Like, you know, The Mandalorian, a lot of it is, you know, it utilizes the real-time game engine.
Oh, interesting.
The way they get the giant LED screens to work when they shoot live action characters in front of the high def LED screens. So it has a pretty broad range of uses. But for us, we wanted to skip storyboarding and really go straight to the stage. So we were lucky enough to, Peter Jackson wanted to get involved. And, you know, he of course owns Weta Effects, who, you know, I'd worked with Peter 20 years almost to the day prior to meeting him, in, it would have been March of 21. And it was literally like 2 weeks after the war in Ukraine had started.
Peter Jackson, for listeners who may not remember, he directed the Lord of the Rings film. He also directed the big Beatles documentary that was on Apple a couple of years ago. Yeah,
of course. And that's where he met Sean. And, you know, I had flown up to Northern California. Dave picked me up in Oakland, and we drove out to Sebastopol, where Sean was out recording an album with Les Claypool of the band Primus, but they have a band together. So anyway, we went out and hung out with Sean. We thought we were going out there for our 1 hour Sean Lennon meeting, and it turned into 24 hours, you know, with crazy Beatles stories and a steak dinner. And over dinner, I think we were on our second bottle of wine, and Sean's like, maybe we should send the script to Peter. And we were like, yep, sounds good. Let's do it. So we had sent it to Peter Jackson. You know, that night we woke up the next morning on a Friday, and Peter had gotten back to us and said, hey, I want to meet with you guys. This is amazing. This is the kind of thing we want to be involved with. And, you know, we talked to Peter that next day on the Saturday for 2 hours, and he just was, you know, for them, for Weta, they really wanted to get into animation. But I think for Peter personally, he really, you know, he's a huge Beatles file and, you know, loves everything about John and Yoko. And just, I think he really felt 2 weeks into this major conflict that the world needed this message, you know, now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, just a few minutes left in our time together. I do want to hit on that sort of hometown aspect here. How do you go from, you know, Glenwood High School in Chatham, south of Springfield, Illinois, Lincoln Land Community College? How do you get started in Hollywood to, you know, trace that path to where you end up on the stage at the Academy Awards again with Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy?
Sounds crazy saying it that way. Well, I did go to Lincoln Land for a couple of years, and I was fortunate that, you know, when in going to Ball Elementary and Glenwood Junior High and High School, that I had really strong art teachers that always saw something in me, and they really fostered my talent, I believe. So I'm very appreciative of that. And then when I got out to Lincoln Land, Jack Madura, Jim Murray, George Lowry were super instrumental in developing, you know, further developing my skill set there. And they were adamant that I needed to put a portfolio together and drive up to Chicago to Portfolio Days, which is kind of a association of art schools that tour the country. So you can see everybody kind of in one stop. And, you know, I was accepted to a lot of places on the spot, but one stood out to me, and that was Ringling College of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida. Like, who doesn't want to go to school on the beach, right? But at the time, they were really on the rise. They were the only undergraduate computer animation school in the country. And I transferred 1 year, my first foundation year, in from Lincoln Land, which I met no other students that were able to do that. I was the only one I ever came in contact with that had gotten a transfer of a full year in like that. And then I did 3 years there, you know, amazing school, amazing people, you know, great community. And before I ever graduated school, it was like that the Lion King had just come out. So Warner Brothers and DreamWorks and Fox Animation at the time, all of them were starting feature animation studios. So I had multiple job offers before I ever left college. And I came out, I graduated in June of 95. And I think I started in mid July at Warner Brothers, you know, that same year. So just a month later or whatever.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, there's so much more to talk about, but we only have about 30 seconds remaining. Can you talk about what's next? What are you working on now?
Well, we're out talking to all the big studios. You know, we have our own projects that we've developed, but there's also some really cool projects that we've been talking to people about. One in particular that feels the most real right now is a giant video game that Sony PlayStation may want to turn into a big feature film trilogy. So we're hoping that one, you know, potentially sees the light of day with us at the helm. So we'll see where all that goes.
Wow. All right. Well, Brad Booker is the founder and CEO of Electro League, the animation studio in Los Angeles, and he just won an Academy Award this past weekend with his co-creator Dave Mullins for the film War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Very, very pretty.
that's all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.